Chapter 85. Night Fire. The Shalane shrank from Sir Tornus, trying to pull Dacen away from him. Her former protector stood firm. "What house do you come from?" Dacen asked Sir Tornus, who looked at him like a savoury meal ready to be devoured. "I've never heard of any Sir Tornus from anywhere."
"He's a craver, Dacen," the Shalane explained. "He betrayed the nations at Echo Hold in the Second Bekikian War."
"The lady knows her history," Sir Tornus said, smiling. "Pray, who did you learn it from?"
"Jen," she said.
Sir Tornus nodded. "Ah, yes, the man with no soul. You know, I tried to devour him and his companions. I felt dreadful about it. But essence of Uyumark simply grew too tiresome. It's not like you can season an essence with herbs. It was, therefore, simply impossible for me to pass up an opportunity for something a little sweeter. But you, Shalane, are the sweetest soul I've come across in ages."
Dacen's brow crinkled.
"Cravers are a myth." Sir Tornus regarded him with a wicked grin. "Oh, how I wish I were a myth. I've tried to disbelieve in myself for some time, but I keep turning out to be real. But you, my friend, you will learn differently soon."
Dacen stepped back.
"Pontiff Aethon said you would send a force to protect us. You'd best flee while you are able." "I think I devoured your protection," Sir Tornus explained. "Strange people, these Elderfair, castrating themselves so they wouldn't be attracted to a woman they haven't been allowed to guard for nearly a century. I know traditions tend to linger, but let's face it, castration is a really poor choice of tradition. It seems a simple vote to end the practice could hardly fail. Quite a deterrent to recruiting, I would imagine."
During Saturnus's musings, Dacen grabbed the Shalane's arm and led her sideways, away from the centre aisle. The Elderfair soldiers lay in heaps in the shadows, forcing the Shalane to step over them and on them in order to reach the side aisle and make for the rear door. Saturnus simply strode back to where he had come from to block their way.
"You can't leave yet," he said. "The sign hasn't been given. I've one last duty to discharge, and I'll at last be free to die. You young people can hardly understand how the years grind on in boredom, but they do. Death isn't a punishment or a disease. It's a relief. Let us pass, or I will cut you down," Dacen threatened. "Haven't you been listening? You can't cut me down. It is my dearest wish that you could. Give me a good whack, young man. Give it all you got. In fact, I wrote a little song for these occasions. I even have a little dance to go with it. Hit me hard and cut me deep. Cleave me in two from my head to my feet. Stab my heart, hack off my head. Slice off a limb or run me through instead. Break my bones and spill my guts. Burn me with fire, pound my chest to a mush. You will stare and I will sigh. Oh, how I wish you could make me die."
While he sang, he danced an awkward jig that ended in a bow, as if performing for an audience. Dacen pulled the Shalane forward. Tornus straightened and cut off their retreat in a heartbeat.
"I said not yet," Dacen yelled. "You are mad! Move aside!" "Mad? I am hungry."
Sir Tornus's arm shot out, Dacen slapping it aside with his blade and then plunging the sword into Sir Tornus's heart. Dacen twisted the blade while Sir Tornus looked on in boredom. Neither man moved for several moments until Saturnus threw up his arms.
"See what I mean? Trust me, the fact that I am not dead is more disappointing to me than it is to you."
Saturnus's hand shot out again and grabbed Dacen's arm at the wrist. The madman's eyes flared and Dacen's face went slack, an energy pouring from his eyes and into those of Saturnus. The Shalane screamed and shoved Dacen away from Saturnus's grasp, her protector falling to the ground, alive, but face wan and devoid of intelligence. The old knight's malevolent gaze turned on her, and he backhanded her to the floor.
"Never take away the meal of a starving man when he is but half done."
The Shalane, ears ringing, tried to get back up, but Saturnus had already lowered his face above Dacen's, consuming what remained of her protector's essence before she could recover. Once finished, he stood and shook his head, an odd expression of regret flashing over his features, before turning his attention to her.
"Who sent you?" the Shalane asked.
Mikik, of course, Saturnus said, voice suddenly melancholy. You know I never wanted to do this. The hunger, it is too strong. I can't stop it, I can't. Are you going to kill me too?
He regarded her, face sad.
Yes, but not until he knows that he doesn't need you any more. It shouldn't be long. I am sorry. And on your wedding night and everything, you look quite stunning, I must confess. Such a nice dress. Tell me, is that really Aldred and McMeer on that throne?
He is the king.
Not quite what I asked.
He rubbed his chin thoughtfully.
Your evasion answers the question. No matter. Mikik should be busy killing him right now. Aldred and McMeer, or some good impostor against Mikik. Quite a contest to amuse the populace. It's a shame that we aren't there to see it.
The Shalane gasped.
Mikik? In Mikmir?
She sprinted for the door, but Saturnus knocked her to the floor with his forearm.
I am so sorry. I was a gentleman once. I can still remember it sometimes. Opening doors for the ladies, throwing out compliments they didn't deserve.
The Shalane slid to a sitting position, leaning against the wall and regarding her captor. He seemed so distracted and lost, but clearly he burned with a purpose that rose up whenever anything threatened it. He offered his hand to help her stand up, and she refused, shaking her head. He sighed and retracted it, staring at her with the same hungry expression with which he had sized up Dayson. The Shalane stared back at him, trying to choke down her fear. Then the world changed. She could feel it, like a subtle shift in the wind or the weaker quality of light when autumn has at last conquered summer. A wrongness pervaded everything at once, a feeling of stillness and death. She shot to her feet, noticing Saturnus with his eyes closed and face troubled. She darted toward the door, her wedding dress streaming behind her.
If I can just get outside.
The closer she got to the door, the louder became the shouts of exclamation and dismay rising from the streets. Had Jen been killed? Was the news spreading that Eldaloth had come and slain the pretended Aldred and Mikmir? With a frantic shove, she pushed the heavy oaken door aside and stepped out onto the wide square porch of Renbury Cathedral. Revellers in the streets beyond the church complex had all stopped to turn their gaze to the deep blue evening sky. To the Shalane's amazement, the moons had gone. Their solid, beaming faces replaced with mighty clouds of dust, expanding steadily outward and thinning. Triss, Min, and Durm had been destroyed, and with them, something else, a vibrancy to everything, living and inanimate, around her. It was palpable to her, and by the expressions on the faces of those nearby, she could tell that they felt it too. An iron grip closed around her arm.
Come back inside, Shalane, said Saturnus. The sign has been given, and the bargain must be completed. This is, I admit, most unexpected. The moons have shattered like little clods of dirt tossed against a stone. Is this the end of magic, then? No matter. I am nearly free. Come.
We wouldn't want to frighten these people more than they already are.
It would be bad manners, don't you think? You see, I'm not as heartless as you think me.
She wouldn't go willingly. With all her strength, she struck out with a sharp kick to Saturnus's knee, but whatever damage or pain she hoped to inflict did nothing to the craver who held her bound. Roughly, he dragged her back toward the chapel, and the Shalane screamed for help. No one seemed to hear her cry, and Saturnus shoved her back inside and closed the door.
Now, Shalane,
he began, standing erect and taking on a formal air.
It is time for me to apologize for what I must do. I cannot help it, nor would I.
The hunger crept back into his eyes.
It is nothing personal, I assure you. In fact, in other circumstances, you and I might have been good friends. But a bargain is a bargain, and I must fulfill.
His hand shot out and caught her by the neck, his eyes alight with anticipation. A voice behind him pulled him up short.
Stop, Saturnus, or you'll doom us all.
He released the Shalane's neck, keeping an iron grip on her wrist, and turned. Joran, now in middle age, approached them down the centre aisle. She appeared troubled and did not approach Saturnus closely.
doom, Saturnus said. This is my freedom. He will release me if I do this. Or do you wish to kill her yourself? Did he promise to end your curse too?
Yes, Joran confirmed. Two of his pawns sent for the same purpose and promised the same reward. But he cannot make good on his promises now, Saturnus,
Joran explained.
Why not? Is he dead?
No, Joran replied.
He is powerless. He did not expect this. The only magic left powerful enough to heal either one of us is in her blood. If you kill her, then neither of us can escape our fate.
No, he thundered.
No, no, no! He promised me! Quit acting like a child, Taunus,
Joran scolded.
We must work together or he will not free us.
Saturnus let go of the Shalane, who stumbled backward, caressing her neck.
No magic?
Mekik was powerless, but Kihol felt wrong. Joran and Saturnus eyed each other, two predators trying to decide how to deal with a shared prey.
See reason, Saturnus, Joran argued. Mekik is the only one who knows how to undo what was done to us.
The Craver's eyes still burned, but his brow crinkled in thought.
Think, Joran continued, coming closer. Her blood was the only power that could destroy Elder Lurimora, but it is also the only power that can restore it to life, which he does not want. As long as we have her, we have a way to manipulate and control him.
A thought struck the Shalane, and she approached the middle ground between the two.
There is someone else that may know how to heal you. Someone who will listen to me.
No one knows all the secrets of blood magic except Mekik, Joran said. He would not give them all, even to me.
Jen knows them,
the Shalane said, trying to sound confident. She wasn't sure what Jen knew of blood magic, but she had to conjure a way to get herself out of the power of the two people seeking to use her as leverage.
Jen is dead, Joran said, face skeptical.
He isn't. Who do you think is parading around as Aldradan Mikmir? Mikik isn't the only one who can play tricks.
How can this be? Joran asked. He was killed. I am sure of it.
He did die at Butcher's Gap. But the Milim Eri returned him to life using the blood magic of which you speak, though they were loath to do it.
Loath? Joran exclaimed. They were expressly forbidden by Eldiloth from its practice, as were all of the Elder races who had the power of magic.
The Shalane said, if you take me to him, I may be able to persuade him to help you. I dare say you have a better chance of convincing him than trying to persuade Mekik to use the power of my blood to help you rather than himself.
Saturnus rubbed his chin, and something unspoken passed between him and Joran.
I agree that it is worth a chance, Saturnus said. But there is a problem.
What is that?
The Shalane asked.
Mekik went to kill Aldradan Mikmir.
Mekik's spell released, and Jen found himself in possession of his own mind again, but not soon enough to avoid the bite of Mekik's blade. Jen dropped to his right just enough that the sword, its magical flame now extinguished, hacked deeply into the meaty part of his shoulder instead of his neck. He ignored the pain and rolled to the right, happy to sacrifice an arm to keep his head on his shoulders. When he came to his feet, he took stock of his enemy, now stripped of all his pretended brilliancy. On Mekik's upturned face played an expression of ecstasy, a release from hundreds of years of torture inflicted upon him by the very existence of Elder Lurimora. His blooded sword hung limply in his hand. Jen raised his own to strike, but the horrified expressions of the crowd and the odd feeling of loss within him stopped his hand. He turned his eyes upward and joined the throng in dismay as Triss, Min, and Duum disintegrated before their eyes in a deep purple evening sky. The exploded moons had robbed Jen of his magic, but the entire world felt palsied and weak, as if inflicted with a withering disease from which it would never recover. Mekik opened his eyes and began to laugh and cry at the same time, as if witnessing a sublime beauty only he could comprehend.
It is done, Mekik said in the ancient tongue. At last the world will be free, and I will be left eternally and blessedly alone.
He dropped the sword, the metal clanging against the stones as he turned and walked toward the gates of the castle without a look back. Infuriated, Jen grabbed his sword and charged at the retreating Mekik.
As he sprinted to close the distance, a sound from behind him pulled him up short. A dark cloud of sleek, black birds descended from the sky, the beating of their wings and the shriek of their call rolling toward the square like a storm. Jen backed away and uselessly hacked with his sword as the flock of birds rushed by, surrounding him in the haunted cacophony of their horrible cry. They were the size of ravens, but clothed with feathers that glinted like metal armor. Slender, sharp beaks the length of a finger gave the suggestion of a poniard. Three slammed beak first into Jen's body, puncturing his chest, abdomen, and right leg, only to extract a portion of blood and then fall dead to the ground, just as the beetles had. Jen fell and rolled into a ball, receiving two more wounds before the flock passed him completely. Blood seeped from five wounds, and he rolled over. The birds swirled around Mikik in a globe, attacking anything or anyone near the dark god as he walked away unchallenged. The people fled. Jen pushed himself up, leaning heavily on his sword. His knights rushed forward and surrounded him. "I need a horse," Jen yelled. He knew he needed to staunch the deep wounds dripping blood around him, but he couldn't wait, wondering what treachery Aethon and Dayson had set against the Shalane. The knights complied without question. Geraint, Volney, and Maewyn found him moments later, aghast at the portents in the sky.
"Lord Mikmir," Geraint exclaimed. "Don't mind me. Get a horse and get to the Shalane."
"Get him inside," Maewyn yelled at the knights.
"No, Maewyn," Jen said. "I've got to find her."
"Not like that, you won't," she said firmly. "You can hardly stand. Send Geraint and Volney and the knights. You can follow when we get you well. There is no magic to help you now."
Jen signaled his men on, and Maewyn threw his arm over her shoulder as they thundered away.
"This brings back memories of our little excursion against the Uyumak," Maewyn said in Elvish, as his concentration wavered. "I had to help you walk then, too. Perhaps you should try not getting hurt so badly."
Once they passed through the doors of the great hall, a handful of servants helped carry him to his bedchamber. A trail of his blood ran through the hall.
"Shall we fetch the chirurgeon?"
one asked.
"Only if you wish him to die," Maewyn said. "Leave him to me. Bring Mirel here."
Maewyn pulled a knife from her boot and cut away his robe and tunic, sucking air through her teeth.
"They bleed more badly than they should. One of Mikik's nasty tricks."
"There are two on my back as well," he groaned, feeling weak.
Hastily, Maewyn sliced away the rest of his clothes, leaving him in nothing but breeches. As she began slicing chunks of the bedsheets away for bandages, Mirel burst in through the doors, face concerned.
"What happened?" she exclaimed. "No time to explain," Maewyn said. "Take these bandages, Mirel, and press them wherever he is bleeding. Tie one around his leg, and he's got two more wounds on his back. The ones on his chest and belly are the worst. I need to fetch my bag from my room."
Mirel nodded, and Maewyn sprinted away. Hastily, Mirel complied with the half-elf's instructions, Jen's blood slicking her hands and staining the beautiful white gown she had worn for her daughter's wedding.
"I sent Geraint and Volney after the Shalane," Jen said weakly. "I will go after her too, as soon as I can."
"Hush now, my lord," Mirel said,
face pale and sad.
"Save your strength."
"You know, trying to marry the Shalane really seems to be a deadly business."
Tears ran down Mirel's face as she worked.
"You should really shut up now, my love. You have to fight it, Jen. Look at me, fight!"
Jen stared up at Mirel's beautiful face. He reached up to stroke her hair, but she pushed his hand down. By her cursing, he could tell her attempts to staunch the bleeding were failing. His vision swam, and he felt drowsy and disconnected from the world around him, a heavy dullness pulling him comfortably down into a warm embrace. The pain of the wounds didn't concern him. He was tired. He needed sleep. Just a few moments wouldn't hurt, and he deserved it anyway. He slipped away into blackness, feeling numb.
"Jen!"
His eyes snapped open. The Shalane, her dress dirty and torn, sat on the bed next to him. Her touch had healed his wounds. He sat up in his blood-soaked bed, a tableau of relieved faces surrounding him. Mirel, face tear-streaked, was covered in his blood, crying quietly as she sat next to her daughter. Geraint, Volney, and Maewyn looked on with satisfaction as colour and health returned to Jen's face.
"I wondered if your gift would still work," Jen said, taking her hand.
"It will work as long as you love me," she said.
Jen regarded himself, noticing his nearly nude, bloody state.
"I am a mess."
"I will send the servants with a bath to clean you up," Mirel said, wiping her face.
I wish you could rest. But you have some unusual visitors.
Who? Jen asked.
It is Joran and Saturnus, the Shalane explained. Aethon plotted with Dacen to take me to Renbury Cathedral. Mikik plotted with Saturnus to kill me once Elder Lurimora was destroyed. Joran convinced Saturnus that now that the moons are gone, Mikik has no power to make good on his bargain to remove the curse they each suffer from. My blood is apparently the most powerful source of magic left in the world, and I convinced them that you had the power and knowledge to help them.
Jen frowned. It won't work. Blood magic can heal, even from death, and destroy to the point of annihilation, but it cannot do the work of Triss and remake them to what they were before they made a bargain with Mikik. And without Duum magic to heal, bleeding anyone for the purpose of using their blood will likely result in death.
I don't know if what I said was true, but it convinced them to bring me to you rather than to Mikik, the Shalane explained.
Well done, Adumira, Jen thought for a moment. Joran is powerless now, so there is little she can do to us, but Saturnus is a craver and is nearly impossible to kill.
All he wants is death, the Shalane reported. My blood could provide him that.
Yes, but I won't risk bleeding you or me for his sake. He can be locked away and restrained if need be.
There's more, the Shalane said. Joran said my blood had the power to undo what Mikik has done to Elder Lurimora, that my blood held the power to heal it. That's why Mikik sent Taunus to kill me, to make sure what he did could not be undone. He couldn't kill me until he was sure he didn't need me any more.
Jen's mind spun with the knowledge, and he realized immediately that it was true. If the power of her blood could destroy Elder Lurimora, it could restore it as well. The Shalane still bore the burden of the world's salvation on her shoulders. With tenderness he regarded her. If only she could be free. If only she could escape her fate and be the beautiful bride and wife and mother she longed to be. But peace, it seemed, was ever to be denied her.
I need time to think, Jen said. I will speak with the people to calm them first. Then I will see what Joran and Saturnus have to say.
What about the marriage? Mirel asked.
Jen glanced at the Shalane, who shook her head.
We can wait, he said. This is not the time for celebration and feasting. It is a time to mourn and to plan. Maywin, I need you to go see if the portals still work.
The room cleared as the servants worked to wash Jen and clean the room of his blood. His mind churned, trying to find a way to keep the Shalane from another horror-ridden trip to Elder Lurimora, to be bled in an attempt to heal what Mikik had destroyed. To bring the dead back to life required the beneficiary to be bathed in blood. How could they bathe the entirety of Elder Lurimora in the Shalane's life essence? How could they bathe the city, even in a small part, without killing her? Pushing aside the impossible quandary, Jen donned another set of royal robes and descended to the great hall. Again his knights formed around him, relieved to see him well again. Outside, the populace awaited news, and a great hail rose as he emerged from the doors. With a practiced air of calm that he did not feel, he reassured them. There was no time for flowery speeches. He promised that he would lead the march against Mikik in the morning and returned to the great hall where Mirel and the Shalane waited by the throne.
I would that the two of you not be here, Jen said. Cravers are unpredictable and dangerous.
We will not leave your side, Lord Mikmir, Mirel stated firmly. It seems most everything is dangerous anyway.
Jen nodded and sat on his throne, Mirel signalling for the Shalane to sit in hers while she came to stand by Jen. Volney and Gerund flanked the dais.
Are we sure that Joran can do no magic? Mirel whispered.
She can do blood magic, if she knows it, Jen answered, but no more than that. We are equals now, save that her curse puts her in a precarious position. With Mikik and her magic no longer sheltering her, she needs our protection, which means we can use her. She knows Mikik's plans and schemes and strongholds. Unfortunately, I have nothing I can offer her in return without bluffing. I fear she knows enough about blood magic to know I cannot help her. Let's see what she has to say. Bring them in.
Chamberlain Fedric, still dressed for the wedding, signalled for the guard to open the door. Joran, now looking nearly as aged as the good Chamberlain, shuffled into the room, Saturnus coming slowly behind her as he took in the glory of the hall. Jen dismissed his scribe, the Chamberlain, and the guard. The strange pair came cautiously, Jen trying to weigh the attitude of the two cursed creatures approaching the throne. Joran, always haughty and in control, appeared humbled, but Saturnus still maintained his air of aloof lunacy that he had demonstrated from the first time that Jen, Gerund, and Volney had met him at Echo Hold.
"You will bow before Lord Mikme,"
Gerund commanded, when it became apparent they wouldn't do it.
"There is no need for ceremony here," Joran returned. "I know the man who sits on the throne. As an infant he drank of my milk and grew strong. I would recognize him anywhere, even if the Shalane hadn't told me who he was. You are bold indeed, Jen, to assume such an honor as the throne of Mikmir. The need for power was something the Milim Eri somehow bred out of you, but you seem to have come to your senses now."
"We don't need a history lesson, Joran," Jen said. "We need answers." "I would just like to die, if you don't mind," Saturnus said, eyeing the Shalane. "It will be good for everyone if you could kill me, before I get really hungry again. I'm stuffed full of elderfare right now, but I'm not very disciplined about denying myself a little snack now and again. Joran tells me that just one bleeding of the Shalane ought to do it." Suddenly, the Craver's eyes shot wide.
"But you have a soul now, Jen."
"What?"
"Yes. Yes, indeed," Saturnus exclaimed excitedly. "When we first met, you were as empty as a drunkard's bottle. But there is something in you to feast on now, something not quite human."
Jen blinked in surprise, finding everyone looking at him with awe.
"Mikik created him," Joran said. "Jen has no natural father and mother. As the Ilk, he never had a soul. But the Milim Eri have gifted him one somehow. Do you know how it was done?"
Jen said, "The subject of my soul can wait. First I need to know what Mikik plans."
"He has no more plans," Joran answered, "or at least he won't until he finds out that the Shalane is alive. Once he knows that, he will have but one plan, to kill the one woman whose blood has the power to undo all of this. He will throw every dark creature, Uyumak, and all the drones at her to get it done."
"How many drones are there?" Jen asked. "I've met Gamma and Hekka. Were the birds another?"
"Yes, that was Sethra drone. There is another, the unspeakable horror Kronadron, an abominable amalgamation of men. But these are not your immediate concern. Mikik commissioned Saturnus and I separately to kill the Shalane and report her death to him. Only then can his victory be total and irreversible."
"Report where?"
"Elder Lurimora," Joran said. "It is no longer denied him. He will go to enjoy the spoils of his work. It is there he promised that he would undo the curse he put upon me, but I no longer believe he has the power to do so. I have sought so long to be free of him, to be rid of all the elder races. I helped the Milim Eri find you, Jen, to blunt his influence over you. I swear it. I only ask now that you help me be free of this curse."
Jen doubted her information and her sincerity.
"In exchange for what?"
"My help. I can aid you. If we work together, we can conquer. But first, you must protect the Shalane. She must be dead to all and hidden away. Saturnus or I must report it to Mikik, and soon. Since he is without Min magic, he will no longer be able to pull the information from our minds as he once did. So we can lie to him."
Jen nodded. "Even so, I cannot see how to restore Elder Lurimora, even if we can get the Shalane there. I can raise a person from the dead with the power of blood, but a city? With Shaitan, I had to reach into the abyss and pull his spirit back into his body. Where is the spirit of the city?" Joran tapped her lip thoughtfully.
"The city was suffused with some essence of Eldaloth that tortured Mikik for ages. There must have been a place, a center from which it emanated. It is Aethon who carried out the deed, and to him that Mikik gave instruction on how to destroy it. He must know."
Jen rubbed his bearded chin and sat back to consider, rifling through all of the lore packed away in his mind, finding that the knowledge of his three trainers availed him little in such a unique circumstance. Deep inside, he knew the attempt had to be made, but was loath to do it. But as he allowed himself to accept the necessity, possibilities started to unlock in his mind that he had not considered.
"If the Shalane is bled, and must be bled multiple times, we have to have a way to heal her," Jen said. "If I teach you, Joran,
You could use the power of my blood to heal her. She can heal me with a touch.
The Ash Witch's clouded eyes brightened.
Yes, that should do nicely.
But we must act quickly, and I must put everyone in danger. I will do what I can to grant you of your wishes, Joran and Tornus, but you must help me in this.
What are you suggesting? Mirel asked, face concerned.
Sir Tornus will travel to Elder Lurimora immediately, but he will tell Mikik that the Shalane lives and is hidden away in Mikmir.
What?
Joran exclaimed. The Shalane, Joran, and I will travel behind him a couple of days. When Mikik sends his might against Mikmir to kill the Shalane, we will enter Elder Lurimora and perform the bleeding. Mirel, I will need you to impersonate the Shalane here while we are gone. Will you do that?
She nodded. I will.
Volney, I will need you to continue on as Mirel's personal guard. Gerund, I am promoting you to ambassador to Tolnor. You will leave immediately to gather support from your nation and bring it here. You will coordinate with General Tarun and General Harband on how best to protect Mikmir upon your return.
I will,
Gerund said, bowing.
There is one thing you aren't considering,
Mirel warned.
The church.
True,
Jen admitted.
It will be difficult to gauge their reaction to what has happened. If Aethon is convinced of his error, then we may have an ally. But the man was so blinded by Mikik he may still attempt to thwart us.
And what of Ogmir?
Gerund asked.
Ulian Mael was the Shadan there before the rule of the Padras, said Jen. I will send a letter asking for his support and strength. But we have no strong ties there. If there were time, I would challenge him for his throne. A host of Ogmerian soldiers would aid us a great deal, and I never thought I would find myself saying that. As for my absence, tell the people I've gone to gather strength to Mikmir, to raise an army to defend it, or some such nonsense. I will take some of my knights with me, but the defence of Mikmir will fall to the regents and generals. Even if we succeed in Elder Lurimora, Mikik's creatures may still press the attack until they are utterly destroyed.
Plan set, Jen leaned back in his throne and regarded his sombre friends and the two fiends. One more night of peace was all he could offer any of them.
Volney and Gerund, go and take an evening and a day with your wives. I will watch over the Shalane tonight. Sir Tornus, I'm afraid I will need to lock you up.
The Craver grinned.
You are wise. We prepare tomorrow and leave early the day after.
A sudden orange glow in the dark windows flared, lighting the great hall in a fiery light. It subsided and flared again, like a flame blown down by a gale, only to burn brighter. Maywen entered the hall at a jog.
Lord Mikmir, she said, portal magic still works, but you should see the sky. It is on fire. I have never seen the like.
As one they left the great hall, striding out into the dark to find a sky filled with smoke and long tongues of flame as the small fragments of the moons cut streaks of fire across the blackness. The celestial conflagration crescendoed, the orange and black sky filling their vision with a roiling, churning storm of flames. Jen pulled the Shalane close.
Is this the end, Jen?
She asked, voice subdued.
The sky weeps fire for the loss of the moons, he replied. The sun will rise in an angry sky tomorrow, and we will rise with it into a new day. You are still our hope, Shalane, and while you are alive, the end is not yet.